Happy Easter, church. I'm Reverend Catherine. Happy Easter. Okay, my friends, I was really excited last week and I didn't get to be with y'all. I was over in traditional worship, but I'm going to say it again. Happy Easter. Friends, we are not done with Easter. We are an Easter people, and it is Eastertide until we get to Pentecost, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that this morning. Pentecost is 50 days after Easter, and we're in a season called Eastertide. So you got 50 days of Eastertide until Pentecost, but each and every Sunday is a little Easter when we remember and claim once again the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So every Sunday, you can claim it. Happy Easter. And if y'all know me, y'all know, Reverend House, I'm with you. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. I love Easter. The energy, the excitement, the joy, the power, the claiming that he is risen from the dead. And if you need proof of the joy of Easter, find me on Instagram or Facebook. See me with like not only the friends and the family, but the animals. Happy Easter. I love it. All right, now just 2 weeks ago, a quick recap. We had started with a parade, right? So a little recap. 2 weeks ago, there was a parade as the people proclaimed, Hosanna, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then we traveled through Holy Week. We remembered the Passover and Jesus' command on Maundy Thursday to love one another. And we got to Good Friday and the fact that Jesus would be crucified for our sins and the fear and the doubt and the hopelessness of Holy Saturday, the darkness and the wondering if things would change, could they get any better? And then we get to Sunday and the joy and the celebrating. It's only been 2 weeks, y'all. A lot has happened. Some of y'all have gone on spring break and some of y'all had returned to work. Life is busy. Life happens. So I want to invite you, like Reverend Sarah said, to take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath in. To remember that the God of creation gives you life and abundant life. So breathe it in. And breathe it out. The mystery that we are a people who are claimed, that we are a people who get life and everlasting life, abundant life, that the stone is rolled away, that our sins are forgiven, that love divine, all love excelling is true, and that we can continue as a resurrection people, that Jesus keeps showing up, that the story isn't over at Easter, that there is more to be done, and that Jesus has more to say. He just doesn't end with rising from the dead. He comes back and he keeps teaching. And last week, Dr. Bill shared some of those encounters with the doubting Thomas and with the people on the road to Emmaus. And he shared stories with old and young, with those insiders and outsiders, because there was more work to happen. And Jesus keeps showing up for us. Because there is more work for us to do too. The story isn't over. The church still has work to do. For there is a spirit that was promised, and there is a spirit here with us and amongst us. For we are an Easter people. And we enter into this new sermon series titled One. One by your spirit. One in Christ. One with each other and one to all the world. And we're going to hear from Paul. Many of you will know of this Jewish Pharisee turned faithful follower of Christ, a man who was transformed, once criticizing Christ as the way, who becomes a dedicated, zealous follower of Christ. The radical mystery of who Jesus is transforms Saul to Paul. And he writes a series of letters, including a letter to the people in Ephesus, the letter of Ephesians. But before I read to it, I'm going to make a really selfish plug. I'm going to invite you to actually go to Ephesus with me. You see, in September, I'm going back. A couple weeks ago, I got to go and visit Turkey and see the seven churches of Revelation. But this fall, I'm going to go on the footsteps of Paul, which is mostly Greece. It's Athens and Thessalonica and it's Corinth. And we're going to do some of the islands. But we're going to Ephesus. And let me tell you, Ephesus is beautiful and it's amazing. And it's some of the best kept ruins that you'll find from antiquity. The third largest library in antiquity was in Ephesus, and you can stand there on the footsteps of the library in Ephesus, and you can see who and where Paul wrote to long ago. What were these people struggling with? So, if you want to come with me on vacation and learn about what Paul was writing to, we're going in September. There's more information on the website and the bulletin or on social media, or stop me. I'd love for you to go. All right, the story makes a lot more sense once you travel there. But if you'd like, look on the screen and join with me as we read from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called with one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks that Jesus redeemed us. And God calls us, and the Holy Spirit comes and fills us once again. Allow us to hear what you have for us this day so that we can be your people and bring forth your peace in this place. Amen. Well, the story in Ephesus didn't start just there. It started a long time ago. It started actually back at the very beginning with the Spirit, when the Spirit hovered over the waters in creation. You see, the Spirit was at the very beginning. The Spirit hovered over the waters, and then the Spirit was with some of the early prophets. You hear of the Spirit being there as Joseph interpreted dreams and as many of the other prophets had wisdom and knowledge. You see, that Spirit, as Reverend Sarah said, is a breath. So once again, kids, I want you really loudly to breathe in and then breathe out. You got it, kids. I knew you would help me in breathing in again. And breathe out. It's that energy. It's that life-giving force. When you take a really good breath, you can feel God with you. That's why parents, sometimes you say to your kids, just take a breath. You get worried or you get anxious or you get overwhelmed or you start to cry. I heard a mom yesterday patting her daughter's back at the gardens and she just said, just breathe. For God is with us in our very breath, that ruach, that breath of life. You see that breath that God breathed into the first of creation. God breathed into the prophets and God put into the temple like a little fire. But it didn't just stay there in the Old Testament. You hear that Spirit descending to Jesus when he was baptized in the Jordan River. And Joel, the prophet, proclaimed, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and then anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the Lord has come. And the Lord was born a baby in Bethlehem, and he lives, and he teaches, and he heals, and he performs miracles, and he becomes Savior, right? And he dies a perfect man, sinless, and he dies, and he raises from the dead, and he comes back. And he too says that he will come again, but it's not just he will come, his Spirit will come. And his Spirit will come and equip them to teach and to share. But when is the Spirit coming? Well, the Spirit comes, and it comes like a rushing wind. So kids, if you'll be that wind, you ready? I want you to hear it. Just like Reverend Sarah showed the wind blowing the flower. The wind came at Pentecost. It was that gathering, the Jewish people. The Holy Spirit came as a wind. And the people could finally understand one another, though they were speaking in different languages. And they were able to communicate, and there was celebration and joy. And at Pentecost, we celebrate the beginning of the church. And if you have curiosities and questions about these festivals, not only in the Old and New Testament, I encourage you to stay today and to join Reverend Douglas Herlong. He's going to be in the chapel at 1010 starting this week and for the next 3 weeks following. So for a total of 4 weeks, he's going to be focusing on some of the festivals in Scripture. And so you can learn a little bit more about Pentecost. But as Jesus ascended a second time, the Holy Spirit descends and acts. And now led by the Spirit, the people are commanded to be my witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. And the church is born. And as a result of this Holy Spirit power, the church begins. And the people start traveling, and we continue into Acts. And I have to say, I was gifted a present, actually, by the Spirit. I happened to be in a Disciple 2 class, and we started back in September. We did Genesis and Exodus for a while, and then we've been reading Luke and Acts long before I knew I would be preaching this text. And in the same way, out of the blue, Dr. James has been teaching on Acts long before he knew that I would be teaching on Acts. God is doing something once again, sort of mysterious. But we continue as the Holy Spirit empowers the birth of the church. And you see, Peter is teaching and Stephen is stoned as the first martyr. And Paul is converted. He goes from Saul to Paul. And the church begins growing throughout Asia Minor. It's a Holy Spirit-led mission. And there was one body and one Spirit, just as they were called. And there was hope and there was faith and there was one Lord and one baptism. And God and Father of all. And you wouldn't believe it, y'all. In the midst of all this good celebrating and the church is growing, there is disagreement. Would you believe that good church folks like to occasionally disagree? I know, they started disagreeing. Good folks who had studied Scripture started to disagree. Do these new believers have to follow the practice of circumcision and kosher food law and keeping the Sabbath? And so what do they decide to do? They're like us good Methodists. They decide to have a meeting. They decide to have the first council of Jerusalem and to debate it, to discuss it, to try to figure it out. What should they do? And through prayer and discernment and the power of the Holy Spirit, these faithful guides, Paul and Barnabas and James and Peter, they come to be reminded that it's not one's ethnicity or not one's faithfulness, the ability to observe the Torah that saves you, but it is by the power alone, faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is one faith. Faith alone. It is simple. Only believing in Jesus Christ that saves us. That holy mystery. It's only Jesus. It's not what you do or how you look or where you come from. It's not how you behave or what you say. It's faith alone. And so, no, it's not what you do. It's faith. It's one Lord and one faith. And one baptism. It's that holy mystery that will save you. But the culture clashes continue. And how will they get through it? Well, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's being completely humble and gentle and patient and bearing with one another. And I gotta admit, friends, it's not just the people long ago, but it's us. Because if I'm honest, I got a tendency to sin too. I like occasionally fighting and quarreling and being impatient. Sometimes when I'm hungry or tired, I keep talking. And that can be a very poor decision. Maybe that's true for you too, right? Sometimes it's okay to be diverse, to disagree, to challenge one another. But do you do it in love? You see, sometimes I forget that I'm an Easter person. That I was given the mandate at Maundy Thursday to love one another. That I'm a follower of the Prince of Peace, and I too am supposed to not only be a peacemaker, but a peacekeeper. And so I got to do that thing of bearing with one another and counting to 10 before I speak, and I got to forgive, and I got to not keep the fight going. that I'm responsible for stopping the fight. And I gotta say I'm sorry, and I gotta hug it out, and I gotta share and be a little more selfless. And I gotta learn to agree to not agree on the non-essentials. And I have to extend grace. And sometimes, kids, if you're like me, you gotta eat a snack and take a nap before you say or do something that you shouldn't do. And I gotta laugh a little more, and I gotta love one another, and I have to live by the Spirit. For we are called to unity, not uniformity. Paul said to be humble and gentle and patient, and to bear in love, and to keep the unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace. And y'all, I fail at these regularly. And I imagine you might occasionally fail at them too. But the good news is there is the Holy Spirit, and there is forgiveness. And y'all, church folks have a tendency to keep disagreeing. We disagree on all kinds of things, from Miraquip and mayonnaise to sports to school allegiance and political parties. And if you go research on the internet and you want to find out what church folks might disagree on, you can find all kinds of stuff. Now, some of it's silly and some of it's kind of serious, but here are just a few topics you might find. The appropriate length of a worship pastor's beard, or should they have one at all? Where is Matt Jackson? Whether or not to build a playground or a cemetery on the church property. Whether you should have indoor toilets or uphold the Levitical command to go so far from the building in which one worship. This is true, y'all. There was a great debate on whether there should be inside toilets long ago. Whether women should be clergy. What should be the color of the filing cabinets. If musical instruments should be used in worship. Whether shoes are required in worship. Can men and women sit together? What are the proper elements for Holy Communion? And more recently, if you've been paying attention, which I believe most of you have been, you know us United Methodists and United Methodists of all varieties have been disagreeing on membership and ordination and the use of our property. There is certainly goodness and diversity, and sometimes even in disagreement. But have we done it in love? With generosity and patience and kindness? Have we been humble and we've been loving as we've done it? Have we been able to part ways in a way that God would be glorified? Have we been able to shake hands and go our separate ways and allow the church to keep growing? Y'all, there were ecumenical councils with great debates, and if you want to be a scholar or you want to do some deep history studying, go look at the early second ecumenical councils and how they debated and discussed whether Mary was the Theotokos, the God-bearer, or is Jesus fully human and divine, and how they came to that conclusion, or how the Holy Spirit became part of the Trinity. Y'all, there are good discussions and councils and debates, and us United Methodists will gather at the end of this month to once again keep the conversation and discussions going. It is okay to disagree, but will we do it with love? Will we allow the Holy Spirit to persevere? Will we keep Jesus as Lord and Savior? Will we keep being an Easter people who love one another? Y'all, I have been here 17 years, and you have loved me so very well. Y'all have seen me grow up, and you have allowed me to do incredible things with y'all. You have watched me do things well, and occasionally y'all have watched me mess a few things up. But I gotta tell you, we do things great around here, and there is more that we agree on than we disagree on. Some of the things that we agree on: incredible worship, traditional and contemporary, extending the sacraments of baptism and communion. We agree on the importance of preschool and children's and student ministry that is vibrant, and opportunities to study the Bible and to go in missions locally and globally. We agree on caring for the sick and the dying and the hurting. We agree on loving our neighbors and being good financial stewards. Y'all, this place has been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I have seen it for 17 years. We have welcomed new folks, and we have cared for old folks. You have allowed me to change and grow and adapt, and I have seen you do it too. We haven't always gotten it right, but we sure have tried. And we have forgiven one another along the way. And we want to continue to be a people who are humble and gentle. And we bear with one another in love. And as we do it, I believe that we can occasionally disagree. And sometimes when we do, we make each other a little smarter. And we allow each other to laugh. And as I said in the first service, y'all keep allowing me to sing even when I sing off key. You allow me to worship even when I get it wrong. Because we are better together. And that's only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by human might. And y'all, it is good to be church together, to love one another, in this particular place at the corner of Northside and Kingswood. And I am so very grateful for y'all to be an Easter people, to be an Easter people with you, to be one with you, to know that in this place that Jesus Christ is Lord. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll keep doing it. So let us pray. Holy God, we proclaim there is one body and one Spirit, one Lord and one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Oh God, unite us by your Spirit. Transform us by your love. Allow the fruits of your Spirit to make us different in this world. We want to display your love and your joy and your peace and your patience and your kindness and your goodness and your gentleness and your faithfulness and your self-control. May this world know that we are yours by the way we speak and act and how we choose to hold our tongue. Yes, there is diversity and difference, and those can be gifts. But also let us be united in our dedication to worship, study, and serve you. By your Spirit and under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.